Welcome, everybody. We're going to get started. This is the second to last session for the summer cohort for the APR online study course. We're looking at research planning, implementation, and evaluation of programs, and this is the strategy session, and not strategy thinking session. It's about the communication component strategies, and we are going to get started, and I would love if you would type into the chat window and just let us know if you can answer this question honestly. And it's okay if you say, I can't or I don't know. Can you honestly write a strategy that doesn't look like a tactic? Can you write a strategy that doesn't look like a tactic? We've got some I think so's. We've got some finally, yes, I can. I love the confidence. It's so great. It's fantastic. Strategy is one of those things that's kind of difficult for people to get. And so we're really happy that you're here. We're going to talk about strategy. And I sort of wonder why my slide is not going forward. There we go. And so I'm Michael Henry, technical facilitator for the meeting today. And I've got some great APR facilitators with me. Casey Myers, welcome back. Casey was with us last week. Welcome back.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, welcome. I'm glad you're here. And Richie, also welcome. I'm glad you're here, Richie.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here.
And Richie, since Casey joined us last week, I'm wondering if you can give us just a little bit of background about yourself, perhaps just a little bit about your APR examination experience.
Okay, sure. Yeah, I am Richie Escovedo, APR, with the Balcom Agency in Fort Worth, Texas. It is crazy hot here today, so, you know, but it's okay. Okay, my APR started that process. Oh, my gosh, that was my journey took a little bit of time. I had a lot of starts and stops and life got in the way, and it kept. But I had a good support network of professionals in the Fort Worth area through PRSA, and had a great team to help and push me along. And it was it's been a game changer for me.
Well, that's great, Richie. We're really happy that you're here, and we're looking forward to our meeting today. As you know, in the summer session, we do it a little bit differently. We look at each of the components of the communication planning process. And as we like to say over and over and over again, that RPIE really is the bulk of those questions on the APR examination. And so this process of looking at those planning components is very important to your ability to pass the APR examination. So let's jump right into it and get into the scenario practice question. And remember that what we want you to do is to think as though you're taking the examination, consider the KSA, think about best practices, and also we'll discuss the format of the question. And first we have Beth Wales. Beth, welcome.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. And
go ahead and share this first question.
Okay. So it's 2010, 7 years ago. You are the brand marketing department for Toyota, and your ultimate goal is to build and protect quality and safety. 19 deaths were linked to faulty accelerators that the victims of Toyota models drove. There was a massive recall that is underway now. 9 million cars to date to fix their floor mats, as well as the faulty gas pedal causing the unintended acceleration. So your objective is to keep consumer anxiety from escalating and reaching panic levels that would damage the Toyota brand and reputation for years. Select the best strategy to implement to keep that consumer anxiety from escalating. A, enable internal web-based resources to ensure that accurate information moves from Toyota directly to its public. B, design full-page ads and insert in USA Today in major city newspapers. C, educate internal audiences and possible spokespeople to encourage proactive, timely, and relevant messaging. D, schedule interview on 60 Minutes to convey to the American public that lawmakers are holding Toyota accountable for the deaths and repairs to the impacted models by the recall. He used Twitter to tweet reassuring messages every half hour. Okay, so select the best strategy or strategies.
Right, and we failed to say there are actually two answers that are in this particular one, and we'll talk about the question in just a little bit. A lot of people are entering their responses, and people are leaning very much to C. There are some people that say A and C. And let's go ahead and reveal, according to Beth Ann, I'd like to call you Beth Ann for some reason, Beth, but you're Beth, is A and C. And Beth, do you want to first talk about those as strategies?
Certainly. So the rationale in the edition of Public Relations, the fourth edition called Strategic Planning for Public Relations, that strategy is phase two of a four-plan process and is really the heart to establish the actions based upon the goals and objectives. So A and C are strategic or strategy. They are not tactics. Strategies really describe the approach, how you are going to reach those overarching objectives. It's the concept, it's the approach, it's the general plan, whereas tactics being B, D, and E, those are really individual events, media methods used to implement the strategy. So strategy is the approach, and tactics are really those actionable events.
Well, let's get some feedback from our panel. And Casey and Richie, it seemed like a lot of people said, well, those all look like tactics to me. Richie, do you want to jump in and give a comment about that?
Sure. I think that, where I saw some early feedback come in, it's like, oh, this one is the question of the tactics. And when where, okay, I think where we can get confused on this topic or in this area is like she said, like it's the how to reach the objective. It's the roadmap, the how to do it. And so if you are going to, it could include things like media relations activities or whatever, but not a press conference, press release, but you know, whatever. So it's the general, you know, media relations, engagement of public and opinion leaders or whatever. It's sort of like it's a bit of a framework to get you. And then underneath that, that's where you then roll in the tactics for those strategies. If you want to use media relations, then you're going to, you put the media relations activities underneath that particular tactic and so forth.
Great, Richie. And Casey, since you came from the examination fairly recently, this question actually has incorrect strategies. I mean, not all of those options
right.
are strategies. You want to address that?
Sure. I think on the exam that you're not going to have, I think that's a very similar type of setup for a question where you pick two. But on a strategy question, I don't think you're going to have a question where you have to pick two and the three wrong answers are all tactics. I think you're going to have five answers, A through E, that are all strategies. And then you have to pick the best two strategies. So I don't think that they're going to test it in the way of like, do you know the difference between a tactic and a strategy on the multiple choice part? They're going to test to see if you know the best strategy for the case study based problem. So B, D, and E were all tactical. If you want to sort of think about that question, like how could it be more of a strategy? How could you rework those as strategies? And that would be kind of more along the lines of the question. One of the things that I have found on some of these strategy questions is that even though we have a KSA in ethics, you will see some strategies presented on the exam, and you could eliminate those because they may not comport with the ethical dimensions of PRSA, or they may not comport with what they think of as the best strategy to use in crisis communication. So you think about those publics and who are your accurate public or who are your most important publics. Typically, if you see a strategy that's talking about the first thing we need to do is alert the media, that's really probably not, I mean, I don't want to say that's never going to be the right answer, but that's typically not, that's not APR's approach. They're very focused on the most important publics and stakeholder publics, and media typically isn't going to be that. And that throws some people off, particularly media relations people. However, the structure of choosing what's best, that's going to, that's very similar to what you see on the exam. I think a strategy is more broad, overarching things like we're going to engage with publics and dialogue, and tactics being more like what you saw on Answers B, D, and E, specific, you know, can I do this or can I not, check the box kind of things. So be aware of that when you're looking on the exam.
Excellent, Casey. Thank you so much. And let's go ahead and go to another question from Lori here. And Lori, go ahead and share your question.
Hi. Okay. So the mission of the Kind Snack Company is to make the world a little kinder. And the Kind Foundation is the organization established by the Snack Company to foster kinder and more empathetic communities. As the PR manager of the Kind Foundation, you are in the process of planning your next communication campaign in support of the launch of the Kind Schools Challenge, where middle and high school students across the country can submit ideas to foster kindness and inclusivity in their school communities. Of those, 10 entries will be selected as finalists and given the funds to bring their ideas to life. Your communication objective is that middle and high school students in each of your 10 target geographic regions will submit at least 200 entries by the end of your communication campaign timeline. Okay, so select the best strategy to support this communication plan. Select one. A, foster kinder and more empathetic communities by instilling these values in our youth and teaching future generations to act with compassion and empathy. B, enlist your program partner, the Harvard Graduate School of Education, to serve as an opinion leader and influencer to support campaign messages. C, position the Kind Foundation as an organization dedicated to improving the way we live, eat, and relate to one another through programming and grant opportunities. And D, leverage connections with middle and high school teachers to serve as program ambassadors and encourage students to submit their ideas.
Okay, enter your response. And Laura, you'll need to unmute your, or turn down the sound on your computer. There you go. And a lot of people are saying D. Let's take a quick look here. Yes, that's it. So let's go ahead and get your rationale, Laura.
All right, yes. These are all strategies. Option D is correct because it best describes how the communication plan will achieve its stated objective, which is the 200 entries. Option A is actually a strategy on how the school's challenge achieves the Kind organizational mission, does not directly speak to the communication plan. Option B is a valid strategy, but it does not speak specifically to the objective as well as option D. And option C is a strategy for how the Kind Foundation achieves its organizational mission.
Great job, Lori. Would you That's great. And Casey and Richie, I think Lori did a great job with that question. Do you want to give some comments, Richie?
Sure. What the thing that I liked about this, in addition to it being a great question and an example on the strategy side, I'd like to point out that this that objective is pretty solid too. From a your communication objective is that middle and high school students in each of your 10 target geographic regions will submit at least 200 entries by the end of your communication campaign timeline. She was able to hit in there. It's the measurable objective. It's answering the questions: who do we want to reach? What do we want them to do or change about them? And how much will be achieved and by when? I mean, that was solid.
Excellent. Great. Casey?
I think it's a good question. I think the objective, you may see more of an outcome-based objective than an output objective on a question, but that's really not that relevant to picking the right answer here. If you notice that D, and when I was reading the four selections, D stands out in part because it meets the objective, but it's also talking about publics and engaging with certain types of publics that are going to have impact. So that leveraging connections with middle and high school teachers, that's going to be a public that's going to have impact to meeting the objective, as opposed to finding a partner like Answer B, a little bit more, diffused type of strategy in Answer A and Answer C. I think also not as solid as a tactic, given what the objective is in the question. So it's important. Sometimes when you're looking at questions, they'll throw a lot of information at you, and you have to decide what information is relevant and what information is just extraneous. So you'll have all of this very detailed case study based question, and the fact that they're giving you the objective there in the question, that's something you need to underline, pay attention to, because that's where the answer is going to align.
Great, excellent comments from both of you. We've got two other questions, and Beth, would you please read this question? Beth, are you there? Maybe Beth can't read it. Lori, would you be willing to read this question also?
Sure. Okay. You are the communications director for a state regulatory agency. During a planning meeting with top agency officials, the group agrees with your approach to focus on strategy rather than tactics. But then one member of the group asks, what is a strategy? You start by sharing the purpose of a strategy. Select two. A, approach aiding in the accomplishment of the PR plan's objective. B, actions that enable the PR plan's goal to be achieved. C, roadmap used to implement the plan. D, activities implemented to reach the plan's objective. E, specific methods to reach your goal through diplomatic or psychological means.
Okay, enter your response. And there's two responses. They're looking for two responses here. Go ahead and enter two responses. A lot of people are going for that A and C, which according to the author is the correct answer. And I'm just going to show the rationale here briefly. This is kind of a different kind of question. And I'd like to ask once again if Beth can read this question, and then we'll get to some feedback from Richie and Casey. Beth, can you speak? Beth, are you there? Lori, I'd love to ask your help to read this question again as well.
Sure, not a problem. Okay, BFI has recently expanded its broadcast operations and presence in the global marketplace with the acquisition of a new facility in South America. This increased capacity will help the company enter new markets with high-end technology. With this growth, the company sets a new goal to be recognized as a leading provider of digital media services in South America. Choose two strategies that will support the goal. A, focus on technology to highlight value-added broadcast resources worldwide. B, earn media coverage about the broadcast acquisitions in Latin American markets. C, partner with Spanish language allied organizations. D, focus on media technology and broadcast expertise through speaking engagements and demonstrations at industry events.
Okay, enter your response. And again, we're asking for two responses here. And people are afraid to enter their response in the chat window. Please do. Okay, and this is a little bit of a tougher question. We've got quite a bit of disagreement on which answers are correct. And according to the author, it's A and C. And we will get some feedback from our panel here. You can see the rationale. So I'd love to get Casey first, if you would perhaps share just a little bit of feedback on both those questions. The first question was kind of a definition question, and then the second question.
Sure. So the first question about the strategy or differentiating, why is the strategy important? Unfortunately, I don't think you're going to get a question quite like that on the exam. It would be nice because it's one of those things you can study and then just sort of know the right answer. But that is, the strategy questions, and from my experience of recently taking the exam, are going to be couched in scenario-based questions. However, I like the question in that it does remind us of what the strategy tactic difference is and what's the importance of a strategy. And you should remember that the strategy tactic delineation is not just tested on the exam. It's going to be looked at in your panel presentation portfolio, and it's going to be something that you can touch on in your questionnaire. So keeping that straight, or maybe going back to that question and seeing what those answers are, that may be a help in looking at creating those documents to be more representative of what you need to do for your panel presentation and questionnaire, and also to keep in the back of your mind for the exam. On the second question, I think that it's a tough question, and just sort of as a strategy, not to sort of mix terms here, but just as a test strategy, if you get a question like that on the exam, you can always pick an answer, pick two answers, mark it, and then come back to it if you have time. All questions are count equally. So, and there's going to be beta questions, and there's going to be questions you don't know the answers to. So if you struggle with a question, pick an answer, mark it, then go back to it. I think that one of the things that differentiates the right from the wrong answers, if you'll notice that both B and D are kind of media coverage answers. And typically you'll see in strategy that just earning media coverage is typically not going to be the answer to a question, because that's sort of seen as not a well thought out strategy that's going to really help the intended audiences or publics. That's sort of just the media is a solution type of answer, which is almost universally wrong on the exam. Partnering and focusing on technology, you may see answers quite somewhat like that. Sometimes you see your strategy answers, like ANC would say, it would be a little bit longer, and then it would list some sort of public that you were going to be engaged with. Always when you're looking at a strategy question, ask yourself, who is my public? And is the public that I'm trying to reach reflected in these strategies? B and D, is more of a broader way to engage with publics, and that may be some of the rationale for why they are incorrect. And you'll see questions like that on the exam. But overall, good questions, good reading of the questions, and I'll turn it back over to you.
Yes, great. And Richie, do you have some comment? This is a really tough question here. Do you have any comments about it?
It is. I honestly don't think I have anything more to add than what Casey covered. I mean, that was actually really spot on with everything. Yeah, nothing.
Yeah, yeah, and Richie, one thing is they said some people were sort of commenting in the chat window that partnering with a Spanish language allied organization was more of a tactic. Do you have any comments about that?
I think if they had, if the question or if the answer had named specific organizations, but since it stayed at the just a level above and just saying, the strategy to partner with the Spanish language organizations, allied organizations, I think that's where it kind of stays in the strategy level and not, not specifically, not jump immediately to that sort of tactical. I know who I want to go to, rush to that solution, or
right,
jump into that.
That's
where maybe the difference on that. But that's a good point. It's a very good point to make, whoever made that point on the partner.
Yeah, and I think it's fantastic that somebody did challenge that. But it is, if somebody said, we will partner with Spanish language allied organizations, the next question is, well, what will we do? And then, do events with them, or these are the things we'll do, which those are the tactics. Which organizations are we going to approach? Those are the tactics. But partnering is really almost a traditional kind of strategy situation. So excellent comments. We're going to jump right into notes now. We've got Corey Keller with us. And Corey, are you there?
I am.
Why don't you go ahead and share your strategy notes with the folks?
Great. So I took my notes from Effective Public Relations, Chapter 12, the study guide, and I also, for every chapter, I generally tend to look at the question formation activities, and I try to read through other people's questions and see if I can answer them correctly. And I actually took a couple examples from some questions that other people in our class have used. So let's get started. Why do you even need a strategy? The book goes into this in great detail, but bottom line, those people with a plan make better use of their time. Having a plan provides a baseline for modifications, and they kept using this ship analogy. The rougher the seas, the more you need a plan. It's more important to achieve outcomes than just activities, and having a strategy is proactive, not reactive. Just to be totally transparent, I actually selected the strategy notes because I was having the hardest time understanding what the difference was between a strategy and a tactic. I'm very visual, so I have some visuals in my notes that I hope will help some other people. And I also included a lot of examples that really helped explain this concept to me. One of the visuals, oh, I just got kicked off, but I've got my slides here to, as a backup. One of the visuals that the study guide or the book offered was a ladder. And a strategy is really the idea of your whole ladder. And a tactic would be the rungs on the ladder to get to your objective there at the top. They kept using a military analogy. And that didn't really speak to me. I've never been in the military. I couldn't quite grasp that, but the ladder helped. So think of your strategy as the whole ladder, and your tactics are those individual rungs on the ladder. Here's an example. A strategy would be to form partnerships with the state's law schools to expand outreach to students. A tactic, which nestles underneath the strategy, a tactic will support the strategy, would be to hold an informational workshop in February at the state schools and invite students to attend. Let that sink in for a minute, because that was similar to the question that a lot of us had trouble on. Forming partnerships is a lot more general. Getting into the tactics is where you get very specific, and often a tactic is something that you could carry out tomorrow, whereas a strategy is going to take a little bit more time, and you're going to have to hammer out the details of that. I hope that makes sense. Your strategy is how you plan to approach. Here's another example. A strategy could be to celebrate success with early adopters. A tactic underneath that strategy could be to host a kickoff party, to introduce the boots, and invite a popular cowgirl bloggers. Another strategy, and again, these are your general game plan for how you're going to approach it, could be to foster viral online communications. A tactic underneath that would support that strategy could be to create a series of Instagram posts titled, "Whose Bed Have Your Boots Been Under?" My last visual for you guys today is these Russian nesting dolls, and this really helped me get a good grasp on the planning process for APR. But again, strategy is broad, and it's your wider approach. Strategy is not specific and detailed. Your details are really going to show up in your tactics. So this Russian nesting doll, you know, you start with your goal, you move a little more specific into your objective with your measurables, then let's talk about your strategy, which is your general approach, and then you're getting even smaller when you get into your tactics. So I hope that helps everyone. That was a good visual for me. And I think I'm all finished here.
Excellent. That is fantastic. And I especially like, wait, what was the cow boot? I have to go back to it because it was so the cowgirl, I've never heard of a cowgirl blogger before, but that's the time. So Richie, do you want to go first and give some comments about Corey's excellent notes?
Oh yes, I mean this is fantastic. Smart to use the visuals. I especially appreciate the ladder, and that whole ladder for the strategy. And so continuing on that with the ladder, where this is where you can take this idea. Okay, but then you're a step further to say your objectives is going to be where that ladder is sitting up against the right wall, right? So how it all supports the measurable objectives. Using that particular analogy.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Richie. Casey?
I'm going to put in the comment box a little outline there. Well, it didn't come out right, but if you think of it like strategy, and then you have tactics to support each strategy. And the strategies can be the same strategies for, the tactics can be the same tactics for multiple strategies. It's about, think of a strategy as a long-term durational thing that may last for, may go through several cycles of your campaign. A tactic has an endpoint. So if my strategy is something like build relationships with, people across campus, and then I do that by holding a tactic is to hold a party. Well, the party's going to end, but the strategy may continue on in different iterations. I may hold information sessions. I may hold a conference. I may meet with people one-on-one. Different tactics may change to achieve the same strategy. I think what's throwing people off on that question, and also in talking about with the notes, which were excellent, by the way, is the word partnering. I guess that verb sounds a little formal. Maybe if you could just replace that and think of it as like fostering a relationship with Spanish media, or fostering a relationship with law schools across campus or something, or across the United States or something. It's the same kind of thing. It's just a different verbiage. But you think of it long-term and quite a short-term endpoint on the tactics. And a tactic can be used in multiple different strategies. And in my own experience just writing up my questionnaire, I use several tactics that achieve different strategies and reuse them. So if you just think of it as sort of like that, more specific, general, more specific with an endpoint. That's kind of how I think of strategies and tactics and their differentiation. But good job on the note.
Excellent. And I just see Shania Twain in the chat window, which is another first for me. I've never seen that in any APR meeting we've ever had. So I'm going to turn now to Tara. And we have, Aurora, I think, is first. And let me preface this by saying that you're going to see a communication problem. And Aurora has asked if she can get feedback from you folks on where she should go with this communication problem. So Aurora, would you go ahead and share your situation?
Yeah, absolutely. So the situation is that Margaritaville has bought a local resort where our organization hosts a leadership conference every July. And I see the slides have finally advanced, so you can look at this a bit as well. But the basic premise is, we went from being a family-friendly resort to a party-centric titled resort. You have a year before your next conference, and you've already signed the contract to attend in 2018. You have minimal budget and minimal personnel time. And if we could advance the slide, I can get into it a little bit more specifically. So there's been no formal research done or conducted at this point. And the following are the things that we're considering based on type, source, application, rationale. But where the interactive part of this comes in is, what should we ask? And then if we did decide to go forward with a focus group, who should be included? So some additional information that is helpful in looking at this particular slide is that while we are a 47,000 member organization, only about 500 members attend this leadership event at what will be deemed Margaritaville here soon. And we are led by a staff and board of directors. So one of the things that the study guide and the books all say is that you have to start internal and move external. And so we know we need to do some communication internally with our staff and board of directors, if nothing else, to kind of gauge how they feel about it.
Aurora, can I stop you for a quick second? One thing that I think that you communicated to me that I don't think other people might be very aware of is the problem is reimbursements. So, for example, when someone puts in their reimbursement and says, well, I spent a week at Margaritaville, how is a school district going to be able to pay for that? That's I think it might be important for us to underline that before you continue. So go ahead.
Yeah, so in addition to sort of the change in tone, it's the potential change in being reimbursed by your district for a professional development event. So for teachers that come to our event and may be receiving reimbursement from their school district for attending, they're going to look at a Margaritaville receipt and probably not be as interested. So we are in the research stage at the moment, and in addition to kind of gauging a tone, what other questions might help determine a viable goal? I mean, we really can't say change it back, so that's not a viable goal.
So I think I'm going to interject here as well, Aurora, and say that this is the time when Aurora would love, if you can think of something that you can add to this, this is her invitation to you to add some ideas.
So the chat window is a great place to do that. Kelly just submitted a goal, which could be, how do we work to ensure that all attendees are reimbursed for their expenses? Great goal. Broad. Corey, I have a question. So you're saying ask the district, not the, never mind, she did a follow-up. So Corey is suggesting asking the district on how we can help them get reimbursed, but asking that of the district, what can we do to help our teachers get reimbursed? Yes, Jessamy, changing the name back is not an option. We don't own the resort, so they have been bought and are now Margaritaville. The resort, all of the communication for Jonna's question is kind of up in the air. So we have not gotten a lot of information back about whether perhaps the conference center may have a different branding or receipts might say something different. So that's an interesting thing to look into as well. Okay. So I think the additional problem statement that we've kind of crafted is it's synonymous with a party atmosphere, which makes our districts like less likely to be reimbursed, and it's a change from the family atmosphere, and it will definitely impact our members in some way, shape, or form for our already contracted 2018 conference. So is this, how do you guys feel about this problem statement? Again, this is a chat window participation point. And Casey just pointed out the problem statement looks more like a goal, which is accurate. Doesn't include the big reimbursement issue. Okay, are there other issues with the problem statement? Okay. So we would ultimately move that problem statement into goals. And that would probably be the main goal. Additionally, keeping attendance at current levels, avoiding potential negative connotations to a professional organization and a professional event. And then other additional goals can be specifically to reimbursement. So we've actually already answered the last question on this slide. Michael,
okay,
can you see it? Perfect. Yep. So moving on to audiences, We've talked a little bit about how to define your public and audience. I'm using kind of synonymously here. And so we have the internal staff, internal board of directors, and then external. And the rationale is listed there for you to read. Should we have secondary objectives to these? I hear some typing. All right, some additional audiences and rationale and objectives are on this slide. Hard to make it readable if you smush it all into one. So in addition to communicating to all of the leaders of the organization and the internal audiences, external, all 47,000 members, superintendent, someone above suggested communicating with the district directly, which may or may not include superintendents. Are there any other audiences that we should perhaps consider? Casey just noted that some of the objectives are specifically output objectives and perhaps rewriting them as outcome objectives versus output objectives. Great suggestions. Board members, another audience. Kelly just suggested perhaps including Margaritaville as an audience and communicating and keeping the lines open with them. Great suggestions, everyone. Michael, can we advance to the last couple of slides? So we were talking about objectives. Now we're moving into the strategies, which is what we're doing. So we're talking about the ladder that would help us achieve the positioning of Margaritaville as less party atmosphere and more professional development while ensuring our members are reimbursed for their expenses. What are some overall strategies, ladder, to support the objective that we might be able to use for these different audiences? Communicating the value of the symposium. Provide education for internal staff. I hear more furious typing. I like Diana's suggestion of researching alternative venues. That is definitely something, though we're already contracted for 2018, moving forward, it may be worth it to just move forward and not be there again. So
there you go. Excellent. Well,
that's the perfect way to wrap that up.
That's great, Aurora. Thank you very much for bringing that to us. And I want to thank everyone for participating. Let's get some quick comments. Casey, do you want to go first and share any comments with the situation there?
Sure. I was writing a lot in there as well. It's hard to keep up. I think all the components are there. I think it's just organizing them in a way that'll make it seem better, a more solid campaign. I think the goal statements are a little more objective. If you tweak them a little bit, like I said, you have secondary objectives. You can always have, and I don't know, I'd ask, is this going to be something that you put together as if it's a real-based scenario, you're using it as a plan, as a panel presentation, and you can always write that out and say, you know, these are the secondary audiences, or these are the secondary publics that I'm going to engage with, but the plan really didn't focus on that, because on the first phase, we targeted the most important publics for the plan. Also remember in the RPI, and I suppose this will be next week's discussion, there's an evaluation component too, once you pick your tactics, and you know, how are we measuring success for this campaign? And it's not just evaluation. Is it just going to be an evaluation of, well, did we do these tactics or not? It's also going to be an evaluation that speaks back to the objective did we meet that objective that we wanted to do? And even if you meet the objective and the evaluation, but the goal isn't reached, maybe that suggests a misalignment between objective and goal. So it all sort of has to fit together seamlessly. I think that, but like I said, I think all the bones are there, but I think just sort of labeling it in a different way and maybe doing a re-edit and tweaking some of the language, it'll become a more a firmer RPI campaign plan that meets all of those different requirements of RPI.
Excellent, Richie. And it was wonderful to see people sort of thinking through all of those components, which is a really valuable exercise, mental exercise. Do you have any comments about the wonderful participation we've had here?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this one was terrific. I really appreciate Aurora, you putting this together. And I like the format of this as far as like how being able to visually understand and kind of plot this out. There are many different types of plan, you know, building. So this is a really solid example of how to kind of put this together. Some other great examples of ways to do this. Yeah, this does include a good shell with everything. I think it was interesting. As soon as I read this, I immediately jumped back to I spent like 13 years in school public relations, so this one really jumped out at me. I started in my head just jumping right back. Okay, there's a school board, and you've got all this, you know, wanted to know more about the. I found myself jumping back in and wanting to dig in a little bit more on the secondary research and kind of what's already known. Who else do we want to reach? What do we know now? Who else could find out more information? This was a really interesting job. Good job there.
Excellent, Richie. Thank you so much. And we're going to go ahead now and jump into our next plan. And this is more of a thought-out plan. And so we're going to listen to the whole thing. And feel free to type comments as we go, but we won't be stopping here. And so, Tara, would you go ahead and share your plan with the group?
Sure. Hi, everyone. So as he mentioned, I do have a complete plan. I didn't really have one that was in the works, so I'm just going to share this. But feel free to just type any feedback you have as I'm talking and in the chat window, and I'm happy to stop and answer questions if you have them along the way, or we can just doodle some at the end. So, yeah, we can go ahead and start with the next slide. Just quick note of disclosure, this is actually a plan for one of my clients, so I did kind of change the name of the client to maintain their privacy, so they are referred to throughout as XYZ Consulting. So the situation is that XYZ Consulting is an emergency management consulting firm, and they help clients prepare for and recover from disasters. They want to expand the firm's brand recognition by capitalizing on their project management skills and industry expertise. In early 2016, last year, they established a marketing group inside the firm that helped to launch a blog, revamp the firm's website, and also conduct outreach to targeted audience segments through email marketing, webinar series, and grant campaigns. The problem is that once these in-house resources were mobilized, XYZ wanted to ensure that their strategic content would reach the right target audience and raise brand awareness in the firm's field. With their proven track record of working on some of the nation's largest recovery and preparedness projects in more than 30 states, there were compelling storylines that could be used to generate publicity for the firm. Identifying strategic opportunities to tell those stories through media coverage, industry events, and social media would drive interest, engagement, and awareness for the XYZ brand. The first step in developing the program, as we all know from our APR setting, is definitely research. So I did conduct some secondary research of looking at a literature review of PRSA Silver Anvil award-winning campaigns that had were conducted by organizations similar to XYZ Consulting, and also just some basic internet research about the firm's industry and their competitors. Based on the secondary research, it revealed that thought leadership programs, media relations campaigns, and event publicity seem to be effective ways to raise the firm's profile among influencers. For primary research, I conducted an informal survey online to gain insights from practitioners whose primary job responsibility is either disaster preparedness or disaster recovery for local or state government. Since this public relations program was developed as a proposal for my then prospective client, time and budget, as always, were constraints, and that resulted in a very small sample size. So although the results were not statistically significant, the anecdotal feedback from the survey respondents provided a foundation for defining my client's problem and key public and really helped in planning this PR program. Based on this initial step, the client is now considering designing a larger and formal survey for future strategic planning. And actually, I'll just note really quick that in the chat window here, the problem could be more clear. Sometimes one sentence will help identify the problem. Can you do it? I'm actually going to let the group chime in because that's actually a really great question, and it's not one that I have baked into the presentation here. So if anyone has feedback on what they think the problem is and they could put it into one sentence, please feel free to share it with the group. I'd love to see the feedback. And then I'll just continue on. So in terms of the goals, the business goal for this campaign is to boost the revenue by expanding the new business development pipeline, and the communications goal is to enhance XYZ Consulting brand recognition as an innovative leader in the emergency management consulting field. The key public are budget directors and treasurers in state and local governments, directors of the Office of Management and Budget, OMB, chief financial officers and finance directors in academic institutions, nonprofit, and private sector businesses, emergency managers in local, state, and federal government, and XYZ Consulting's current clients, employees, and prospective employees. The objectives. We have outcome objectives first, and there are two for this particular campaign. One is to support revenue growth by increasing the percent of prospective clients to include XYZ Consulting in their RFP process, request for proposals, by 10% year over year. The second outcome objective is to increase market awareness by 10% for XYZ Consulting among prospective clients by the end of the campaign, as measured by a pre- and post-campaign brand recognition survey. There are also output objectives to measure execution throughout the campaign. The first is to generate 2.5 million impressions through placements in national and local market, print and broadcast, and online news, as well as social networking channels by the end of the campaign. The second is ensuring inclusion of key messages or a quote or soundbite from the firm's executive vice president in at least 25% of the media coverage. The third and final output objective is to build social media engagement by increasing XYZ Consulting's followers on Facebook and Twitter by 10%. Strategies for the campaign are to develop an issues-based thought leadership campaign that's anchored in research and data-driven analysis to elevate the firm's perspective on disaster preparedness conversation and position them in the headlines as the go-to source on emergency management. The second strategy is to differentiate from competitors by promoting the firm's industry expertise, value proposition, and client service strength through a multi-pronged media relations campaign aligned with key moments in time. The third and final strategy is to leverage community events to build relationships with local media and drive social media engagement. For messaging, the talking points listed below were proposed for use in media outreach or by a spokesperson during interviews. And I won't read through them just to save time here because I know we're nearing the end of the presentation, but there are three different messaging bullet points below that you can see. Obviously, we don't have time to go over all the exact tactics of the campaign, but this is normally where that part would be included. And then the final piece is evaluation to assess the effectiveness of the objectives included in the program. We have the methods listed below to measure outcomes and to compare results year over year. I won't read through these word by word, but just to sum it up, to measure behavior change in terms of getting prospective clients to think of the firm in their RFP process, we've thought about asking new clients when they onboard how they learned about the firm. And in terms of measuring awareness, we've looked at things like Google Analytics to see where people are coming from and how they got to the firm's website, and also in-person and online surveys of some of their key publics at different points in time. And the final slide is to measure output. This is probably pretty standard here. It's just content analysis for measuring how we're doing in terms of the media coverage, whether it's reach, volume, tone, media monitoring to check and see if the consulting firm spokesperson has been cited, and to see if key messages are getting delivered. And then last but not least, social media analysis to see how we're doing in terms of followers, audience engagement, and third-party endorsement.
Well, excellent job, Aurora. Tara, thank you so much for sharing that. It's excellent. Let's get to some comments. Richie, do you want to go first? There's a lot there. And again, I think we had some great comments in the chat window, and I'll send that to you, Tara, so that you can, you know, evaluate that and maybe make tweaks if you find it necessary. Richie, do you have some comments you'd like to share?
Sure. The three things that jumped out at me about the whole thing were that I really appreciated was the fact that in the research section, being able to identify the secondary and primary research and like the proper the use of them and what you can learn and know and the kind of distilling information from that was super key. The differentiating between outcome and output objectives and because identifying and knowing that those. That outcome require those high level questions or statements, and then the last part having the evaluation portions or sort of the how we will evaluate whether or not we meet those objectives is what was really spot on.
Excellent, Casey.
Thank you so much.
So I was listening and thinking of a problem statement. That's my problem statement that I came up with in a sentence. I don't know for what it's worth, but I thought I'd share. One of the things that you will find in a kind of a panel type situation with that type of case study is that they will say, well, on the research, you didn't find statistic significance, but if you had to go back, what would you do differently? And that kind of thing. And that's also that is also something that you will find is what they ask for in the questionnaire. So you can think about that when you're putting that together. Another thing that I really liked what you did with outcome objectives and output objectives are going to be in any campaign. You may have the panel ask, how would you make your output objectives outcome based? And so be prepared to talk about that if you get that kind of question or just in the exercise of thinking about objectives as well. The last component, talking about evaluation of outcome-based objectives is very hard. And I think that Effective Public Relations has a really good chapter about evaluating and how you evaluate things beyond just did we do it, did we not do it, sort of how do we measure attitude change, how do we measure social media as an effective tool to communicate messages. And so those kind of nuanced evaluations are something that will really be impressive when you get to that point at the panel presentation, but it's also going to be something that will more than likely show up on the exam. You're not going to have an evaluation question come up that says like, well, how do you evaluate it? And the answer is like, well, do a checkbox if you did it or not. It's going to be sort of like, how do you measure these things and how do you get to the question of meeting your objective. Another thing that I liked about this case study and that is really helpful for those studying the exam is knowing the difference between those research methods, the qualitative versus quantitative methods, this primary and secondary research, but also the research types. If you go into the study guide, he gives a kind of a breakdown of what's the strengths, what's the weaknesses, how do you do it on each type of research approach. So that was really impressive to me. I think it was overall a very solid, impressive presentation.
Excellent. Thank you so much for sharing your feedback, Casey and Richie. And Tara, thank you so much for sharing your case. And right now, I'm wondering if we can just, I know now that we all know how to share the little thumbs up thing, I wonder if we can shower our presenters with a little thanks, thumbs up, because they all did a great job. We had Lori and Beth that shared the questions, and then we also had Corey do a great job on the notes. And then, of course, Aurora and Tara both sharing a case situation. And then thank you so much, Richie, and thank you so much, Casey, for joining us. Richie, I hope you come back and do it again sometime. Great job. Thank you so much, Richie. Great. And Casey, and we're hoping that we see you come back too as well.
Thank you.
Great. Well, we're really happy. That was a great meeting. And again, remember that these meetings are recorded and put into the online course, so you can go back and look at them again if you need to. Next week, we're going to be dealing, we've got a little bit of a shorter session this summer because of the 4th of July week. So we're actually going to be covering tactics, timeline, and budget and evaluation next week. So think in terms of the project management for the implementation of your plans, and we'll all see you next week. Thank you all very much, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye, everybody, and have a great week. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.